Okay. Hey, that turned on. All right. I know a lot of you guys have hung out in basement church before and kind of heard some of this, but we're going to go through it anyway. Because again, tonight is a little bit of practice. So these are things we're learning because I like to take up a lot of space. What? I'm aware. We'll see. But a little bit of who we are and kind of what we're doing and the vision behind, I got to figure out, okay, is that not working? Are we plugged in? All right, Alex, you're just going to have to keep up with me then. All right, here we go. So the core values, we're not the church, but we're a part of God's bigger church. And we're intentionally, if you look at any of our stuff, it just says redeemed community. It doesn't actually say church on it. And this, there was a lot of debate going back and forth in this because people are like, well, how do they know you're a church? How do they know that that's what you're doing? And I said, yeah, but I sometimes feel so much like we all build our little groups, and I'm not saying the other churches are, but it's like we separate ourselves. And we say, well, I'm part of this group or this church, and then they're part of this church. And the cool thing is when you feel like God told you to do something and he's like, I want you to start this thing, you get to do what you want. And so this is one of the things. We didn't put church on it because we're not the church. We're a community inside the church. Like there's another church or community just through those woods and recast, and they're doing phenomenal work for the kingdom. And there's another one just up there as you were coming. If you came in through that, that's Faith Baptist. They're doing really good work and have been for a long time. And some of you go to other churches, and I just didn't want us to be drawing these lines because we can't do the work ourselves. Like for communities of believers to also be focused on Mattawan. Because within a 10-mile radius of right here, there's 128,000 people, okay? Now, while we're not using all these chairs here, we don't have 128,000 of them. We got like 128. So we're a little short. So that's part of it. That's why it doesn't say, it's nothing more than, I don't want us to claim to be it. We're doing our part. We're doing the thing that God told us to do. And we're not competing. We're not trying to take people from another place. We're just being faithful to what God has called us to do. And so as people like Mike Kemple back here, when I first met Mike, and this is also what you get with me, is I say whatever I want, whenever I want. But when I first met Mike, I was going to a church in Lawton, and we were playing basketball. And we met on the basketball court. And then I started going to the church that he was going to, or community that he was going to, but he went to like 5 different communities. And like, so we'd see him like once every 5th week and he'd bounce around, but it was great because you can't go into a room in Kalamazoo that has 20 people in it and not have one of them know who he is. And that's kind of how we should be, right? Like, especially in Mattawan where we're going to be really focused. I would love it as if anyone went in there and you could drop a name of anyone who God puts as a part of this community and they go, oh yeah, I know them. Oh yeah, I know the reputation of them and it's a good one. I know that group of people, they're there to help. And so that's a big piece of what it is and kind of how we're going to go about it is in our mission statement, which is redeemed community will understand the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might, and love our neighbors as ourselves. And one of the things is anytime you start a business or an organization, you have to have a mission and a vision statement, and there's a lot of variations. I was like, well, why don't we just use this? Because this is what Jesus was saying. This is where Jesus said, it's all wrapped up into this. If we can get this right, we got it right. And that's everything. If we can just figure out how to love God with everything we are, and then out of that, love our neighbor, the rest of it falls right into line. falls right into place. So I was like, oh, we don't need to get a fancy, really catchy, really short, you know, mission statement. We can just do what we've been told to do. So a part of us is just giving everyone a disclaimer. Now today, it's a preview. So in that, I'm going to kind of like 30 minutes, okay? But that's not necessarily where we're going to be. Some weeks we will. Some weeks we might be 20. Some weeks we might be 45, 50. It's going to really depend on what God has in store for us that week. But in sermons and in the teaching times, there's kind of some different lanes you can be in. There's a time for storytelling. Our stories are important. We've walked a path. Sometimes it's a path that God has led us down. Other times it's a path that we've led ourselves down. But God redeems those things. And there's someone else walking those paths. And maybe that shared story is a way that you could tell them about a hope that you have in God and what God's done in your life. So storytelling is a way that you're going to hear us speak sometimes. And then sometimes there's preaching. And tonight, to be honest with you, is more of a preaching one, which is a little bit closer. It's a different style. Maybe not really, really heavy with a lot of scripture. Maybe it's more of a thought kind of moving you towards that. But to be honest with you, we're going to hang out a lot in the fast lane because that's how I drive. And we're going to spend a lot more time in the teaching end. And the nice thing about that is we're going to try to teach you the context of the scripture because it really does matter and it changes things. There's so many things I understood. Even going through seminary, I thought I understood. But then when you start bringing in the context of the scripture, you start realizing it didn't mean what I thought it meant because I was looking at it through the lens of an American living in this time, in this age with my context. See, the scripture was written for us. It was not written to us. So in order for us to understand what it says and how it applies to us, we have to go back in time all the way to when it was written and what was said so that we fully understand the context of what was being said. And that takes teaching. And here's the good part for you is I'm not that bright of a person. So for me to be able to teach it, you guys should be like, yeah, Rick, we're not idiots. And I'm going to be like, oh, I'm doing the best I can to understand it. So it should be okay for everyone, I'm hoping. So hopefully you guys won't get too bored. I'm sure some of you will. But that's where we're going to be. And then, you know, you have some of these on-ramps sometimes that are a little motivational and self-help. But those have their place, too. We're just not going to spend much time in that is all. So one of the things we're going to continually be doing as a part of this community is we're going to say our mission statement. So I want you guys to repeat this with me because this is important because this is everything to us. Okay. In fact, in scripture, in Deuteronomy, the instruction Moses got this. It says, you know, tie it to your arms, put it on your doorpost, teach it to your kids, you know, tie it to your head. If you were to go to Jerusalem right now, maybe not right now, I think, 11 hours or something different. So they might be in bed or just getting up. But you'll see people walking around with boxes on their forehead tied on and boxes on their arms tied on. And inside of that is a scroll with this written because it's reminding them. Twice a day, they still say this. All the way back to when Moses was given this. Jesus said this at least twice a day. It's important. So, say this with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might and love your neighbor as yourself. Let's just take a moment and pray. For this opportunity we have to ask big questions. And God, we just ask you to move through this. Lord, I ask that you open our hearts, clear our minds, let us hear from you and your own, Lord. And if there's anything you want said, remove it from my mind. Don't let it leave my lips. And if it does, let it fall on deaf ears. So that only your words stand true. And we praise you in all things. In Jesus' name, Amen. So I like teaching in series. And so we picked a series, Who is God? And that's going to be our preview services. So as we meet in this building, heading up to our launch Sunday of February 16, right? 15, whatever, that day in February. Okay, we're going to be doing Who is God? Because I was like, well, if people are coming in, what is the most important thing we can get through? And understanding who is God is foundational. Because that seems to be a bit confusing right now. So many people have different understandings of who God is. You know, if you ask some people and they were to draw you an image, some of them may do this and be like, well, it's this guy, you can't see his face, and you know, he's sitting on this great throne. And maybe, I don't know. Some people may jump to like more of a Greek god or something like that and get this guy. Sometimes we just kind of build these images in our head of who God is. Or when we think about God, maybe it jumps to, you know, Morgan Freeman and the Almighty movies and his portrayal of God. I don't know, but it's really important that we understand this, who is God? Because anytime we do this, we're probably missing the mark. So we thought this is an important thing for us to take a moment and start processing. So for a handful of weeks in December and January, we're going to really focus on this question of who is God. In reality, what's often thought is God made man in his image and we return the favor. We tend to make God what we want him to be, right? How often do you... Well, no God I serve would do that. That's not the God I worship, and they're probably very true in that. Another thing you will continually hear me say is the scripture does not care about your feelings. Who God is not dependent on how you woke up that morning. God has always been, and that doesn't change. You know, there's this really interesting experiment that was done, and I'm sure you guys have all heard of this, but it's the Schrodinger's cat experiment. It's a thought experiment from 1935. And there's this cat in this box, and the box has a poison in it. And he came up with the understanding that the cat is both dead and alive simultaneously, as long as you don't open the box. Because you don't know that the cat isn't alive, but you don't know that the cat isn't dead. And I think the problem is, in our society, is we've kind of developed a Schrodinger's God. God's only real when we want him to be, but he has no authority in our lives. God's only real when we're in a situation where we want God to be, and then we put him, this is the God I need right now, but we don't actually care about the truth of who God is. We just care about what we need. There's that statement of there's no atheist in a foxhole, and I think that's the greatest example of this. Is someone can say the most vile things about God and about, but when the bullets are flying, all of a sudden they want this relationship. And we do that so often in our life. Even as Christians, we tend to find ourselves in a situation where when life is going really well, we think we've done something. We think we've accomplished something. We start to pat ourselves on the back. And every time we God, because I did this, God's just there. And God is doing his thing over here, but I'm succeeding over here. But then it's amazing. As soon as it takes a hard turn, we either start crying out to God and going, where are you? Why have you left me? What's going on in this world? When in reality, we weren't allowing God to be a part of the thing altogether. And then we blame God when things don't go well. But we had no intention of listening to him and following the path that he set out for us. I think you really grasp that concept when you have children that reach teenager age. When they need you, it's your fault for everything, regardless of the fact you continually tell them not to do things. Now, my kids are young adults and teenagers, so I'm sure my dad is back there going, that doesn't stop at teenager, but you know. Have this problem where we make God who we want God to be. I love the C.S. Lewis quote that just says, we want, in fact, not so much a father in heaven as a grandfather in heaven, a senile benevolence who, as they say, liked to see young people enjoying themselves and whose plans for the universe was simply that it might be truly said at the end of each day, a good time was had by all. That's really what most of us want from God, because that feels good. We want the God that makes life easy. We want the God that does what we want God to do. Because as God talks, he's exactly who we want him to be. He doesn't have to take credit for anything that goes well in our world. But we can dump on him whatever we want. We can blame him for whatever we want. And we can shun him whenever what he calls us to is uncomfortable or difficult or isn't what we think we want in this moment. And we just struggle with who God is. A.W. Tozer says it this way, and you're going to hear me say this a whole lot. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, and there's no more true statement than that. Because what you think about when you put God out there dictates every single thing we do in our lives. If you live in a life that goes, that's not a God I would serve, then that's exactly who God is going to be to you. And the facts of who God is and who he tells us he is in Scripture doesn't play a part of that, because we make God who we want him to be, and that's how we live our lives. So what you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about us. But if we're not actually looking at who God truly is, regardless of who we want God to be or who we think God should be, then we have a problem. The real question is, what gives us that right? What out there says that we get to make God whoever we want him to be? That we get to project on what is just, what is right, as if somehow we have an authority over that. You know, I do a lot of things the way I want to do them. When my kids ask me why I do it, I say, because I'm Rick George. And it's fun. And sometimes on a 2-lane road, I drive in the middle. And the kids ask me, like, Dad, why are you in the middle of the road? And I said, because I paid for the whole thing and I rarely ever use this part. And so I want to get all my money out of the road. But that's neither here nor there. That's not the rules. What gives me the right to decide to drive in the middle of the road just because I think it's fun and funny is irrelevant to the law, to the reality of what keeps everyone safe and what is just and what is right. Because if you go in other places where there are no lines and the whole thing's chaos, it's chaos. There has to be an order. There has to be a truth. There has to be a reality. And I don't get to just make up the rules as I go along. But yet we feel okay with that. what gives us the right to make God whoever we want God to be? And the reality is, we don't have that right. And we find that very quickly in Scripture. In fact, if you're going to find it right off the start, Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Right there. In the beginning, God. Nothing before that. And the fact is, the beginning does not refer to the start of God's existence, but the start of creation. John Cross, an author, says, in the Jewish mindset, there's no opening arguments to the existence of God. It's just assumed that he exists. God is just there. So if you put yourself with that mindset, the in the beginning God is, that's the part where in the beginning God created. So it's saying God was already there. There was a never a point in time before time. There's never been a second in anything in which God did not exist. And he began to create out of everything. What gives us the right to tell God who he is? What gives us the right to tell God what is just, what is fair? What gives us the right to tell God who he bestows grace and mercy on? What gives us the right to dictate the rules? If God started before everything, and there never was a point without God, and then God created everything, isn't the right all his? Isn't that where it all begins? See, that's the thing that we need to start with. As I was putting together the trying to figure out, how do we build? What's the first thing that a new community of believers, part of God's church, has to get right if we're going to be effective in following God? Because the reality is we can develop a lot of great plans to connect with this community. Like spending time and gathering with other churches tomorrow night to pray over this grieving, but also to pray over the students that lost a friend and some saw them lose their friend, and the bus driver who witnessed that, and all the neighbors who witnessed that, and all the students who are going to go into school on Monday and notice their friend is gone. What gives us that opportunity? Like, we can do those things, and we can be great to them, and we can be generous to this community. We can do those things, but if we don't understand who God is, then all we're doing is playing a game. We're building a business. We're building an organization. Because we can still manipulate God into who we want God to be. But if we can just come to terms with that, then everything falls in line. If we get this part to where we know this and we know that we know this, then we're able to move ourselves aside. Because if we don't acknowledge this statement at the very beginning of Scripture as fact, the fact that God was there from the beginning, and then he started creating, which includes man and woman in his image, and then gives them a mission and says, love me with everything that you are. We can't do that properly if we don't believe that completely. Because when we believe that statement, we stop putting God in our box. Because with this statement comes the authority to tell us how to live, regardless of how we feel. When we understand this statement, we start to go, I may not like this, but the God that created me, I'm trusting him to know what's best for me. And so I'll do it. See, submission and surrender to God all starts with how much we understand and believe that. Because doing this, for starters, being a pastor was never on my radar. Being a lead pastor was never on my radar. And starting a church community was so far off my radar. But if I believe this, then I have to believe. And you start doing crazy things. You start doing things that make the world go, why would you do that? You go, because I have to, because I believe this. Because I don't get to tell God who he is. Because every time I've tried to do things my way, when I get to do things because I'm Rick George, never has the peace. Like, it may be fun for a moment, but it ends poorly. And it ends with frustration and hurt and pain on me and other people that I care about. But when I move like I understand this, and I submit to who God is in this, and I say, God's calling me to do something, it's peace. Because I quit trying to justify what I do or do not have to do to my neighbor to love them, because I don't like how it feels. I quit doing the math so much on how this is maybe a risky move, or it's not financially sound, or maybe it's awkward and it could cause a difficult conversation at Thanksgiving. I quit caring about that because I go, okay, if God loves me, then God loves this person that I'm supposed to connect with. And if long as I do that, because I believe this, we're going to be all right. And then you start seeing God do some pretty amazing things. So a lot of my friends who are asking me, like, Rick, how's the church planting going? Clue what I'm doing really, really well. But God's doing things in such a way that there's no possible way I could take credit for it. Like, some of the things that God's brought in our path and the things he's done, I'm going, these are God things. And I couldn't have orchestrated that. And when you start stacking those, this becomes a little easier. But if you never start with it, you never get that chance. So as I wrap up, because I promised I'd stay around 30 minutes, here's the question. Who is God to you? Are you putting God in this box that he maybe or maybe not be the ultimate authority? The one who in the beginning, but he can also be the one that you want to manipulate to be whatever it is you need in that moment. Who is God to you? Because that matters deeply. There's only one answer to who God is. There's many answers of who he is to you. So for the next week, just pray over that. Spend some time meditating on that question of who is God to me? Is he just this being that hopes that I have a good day? Or is he this God that desperately loves his creation so much more than we can even comprehend and has a plan for your life and for your neighbor's life and for your family's life that he desperately wants you involved in. Because it changes everything. If you're just still struggling with who God is and whether you even believe that God exists, you're like, he's not even a box to me. I don't even have a fake God. I don't have anything. Then here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Test him. Find a few minutes all by yourself. Put the phone aside. Put the distractions aside. And seek him. Say, God, if you're real, with a sincere heart, say, I need you to show up in my life. I need to feel your presence. I need to know that you're there. God is faithful in that. God desperately wants a passionate relationship with each of us. Because there's so many people that are lost and hurting in this world that he's like, your story is important. And when you find the hope that comes from me, you get to share it with that person who's just drowning in despair. And you're the one that I'm going to use to walk them out. Just take some time. Whether you've been a believer for a long time or have never believed in your life, spend some time and saying, God, I need to know you're real and who you are. And then dig into Scripture. See, because it's one thing if you come here every week, not next week, we won't be in here next week, but once we start in here, if you come and you hear me say things or whoever's up here and we teach you things and we say things to you, that's great. But that's putting your faith in me. I can tell you 100% of the time I'm going to let you down. My job here is to help you develop your relationship with God and your understanding. Because it's one thing to say, okay, I know this because Rick taught me this. It's another thing to go, I know this because I know this. And then you start living your life with it. So that's what we want. We want to help you. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles. I literally ordered, like 50 Bibles this week. And I'm dying to order more. We got kids' Bibles and we got adult Bibles, and we're happy to give you one so I can order more, okay? Because you need to read Scripture. You need to highlight that Bible. You need to write in the margins. One of Jenny and I's most prized possessions is, and they're the ones she used when she first came to understand who God is, and you see her prayer requests marked. And the things that God showed up in her life, the way God made himself known and real to her, and you get to see this whole documentation. Do not short your family that. It's such an amazing journey to read it and to see it. Phones are great. I use my phone for the Bible. I use my computer for the Bible. But there's nothing like the book that you can grab and hold and mark up. And if you don't got one, I got one for you. Okay? And we want to help you out with that. But spend some time. Learn who God is. Know who God is. Who God really is. Don't put your feelings into it. Don't put your thoughts into it, because those don't matter. God is God and always has been. Let's pray. We thank you for this time. Here. God, we praise you for what we know you're going to do here. Lord, our prayer tonight is that you speak to each one of us. Some of us just remind us of who you are. Because maybe we've distorted that image too much. We've shaped you into what we feel like you should be and not the truth of who you are. Speak to us. Give us a passion to learn who you are and a desire to live everything we have for you. and then to take that love for you and love our neighbor who you desperately love as well. We praise you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's our service for tonight. We really appreciate you guys being patient with us starting late, with us learning some bugs as we go, and we appreciate your patience next time for what this may or may not look like. I don't know. But we'll be back in here on December 14, right? 5 o'clock again. And then we'll be back the next week on the 21st, but that's going to be at 10 o'clock. So from then on, we'll be at 10 o'clock. And I think all of you guys are aware, you're welcome to hang out in my basement for those weeks we're not here. That's at 10 o'clock. It's fun. It's basement church. It's a good time. So anyway, we have shirts that we'd love for you guys to grab one. We got water bottles. We got cookies and brownies. Joel's okay if you don't eat the brownies because he would really like the brownies. So he said, I'm not a sweets guy, but those brownies. So you might have to try a brownie. Sorry, Joel. They're really good brownies. But anyway, and then we got a lot of coffee. Like, drink a lot of coffee because we didn't know how many people are going to show up. And you guys showed up. So God's telling you, drink all of our coffee and eat all of our snacks. But grab some of the stuff we have. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. You know, if they're looking for a church, we'd love to meet them. If they're engaged in a church and serving there, then that's where God has them. And that's a really good place for them to be. I tell people all the time, I don't care what church you go to. I don't care if it's this one. I just want you going to one and serving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.